Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. I was thinking about this afternoon. Sometimes you have a, I guess I would call it a proactive sermon where, you know, where you come in, shout it out. And sometimes you have a maintenance type sermon, and sometimes you have preventative type sermons. I guess tonight this one will be a more of a preventative type sermon. So if this is not something that you're dealing with right now, just hold on, because you might one day, amen? Numbers chapter 11, when you get there, let's stand in honor of reading God's word. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. God, we love you, and we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Thank you, God, for this service, for each one that's come this way, for the service this morning. God, and once again, we ask your hand to be upon all these that's been mentioned as far as sickness. God, got a lot of sickness in our church family, Lord, and I pray, God, you would work all that out, God. God, I pray for those that might be listening on Facebook or YouTube right now, God, touch them and help them and help us tonight get our hearts on you, Lord, and help us, Lord, to take your word, hide it in our heart, God, that we might not sin against you. I love you. I thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us your word. And we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I got a thought just several weeks ago and got to start dwelling on it and thinking about it and praying about it. What we must sound like to God. What we must sound like to God. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says this, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Psalms 100, verse 1 through 5 says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says this, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our giving thanks to his name. Have you ever thought about what you sound like to God when you pray? Have you ever thought about, I thought about as I was studying this, Brother Robert, people all over the world are praying. And sometimes, you know, I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes I don't pray like I should. And I'm not talking about not praying. I'm talking about praying, and you'll understand a little more when I get into the message. But so sometimes we pray selfishly. Sometimes we pray, you know, I tell you, I'm the most honest preacher you'll ever have. Anybody ever pray with bitterness in your heart? Anybody ever prayed angry? I know y'all, some of y'all ain't going to amen me, but I know, just shake your head, let me know you're still with me, amen? But I got thinking about this, you know, some call it praying, but to God it might be complaining and grumbling. I thought about, you know, some call it praying, but God, it might sound rebellious. Now we know, you know, sometimes I'm just going to be honest with you, sometimes I think I know what I sound like when I'm praying. But sometimes, Melvin, what do I really sound like when I'm praying? Sometimes when we come to God's house and, you know, we get on our knees and not maybe not here. How about at home? When ain't nobody else around. When we really unload on God. So we call it being honest. God might call it complaining. Somebody might call it venting. God might call it murmuring. I want you to notice something here, just a few little thoughts tonight. God hears our tone before he answers our request. Verse 1 that I read to you, and the people complained, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. We don't know really what they were complaining about. If you study about the children of Israel, when they come out of Egypt, this is one of the first times, Brother Tony, that they really start complaining, and they really start murmuring. We don't know what they were complaining about. Maybe they didn't have enough to eat. Maybe they had too much to eat. Maybe it was too hot. Maybe it was too cold. We don't really know what they were complaining about. They were complaining. They were not calling out for deliverance. They were complaining about discomfort. The same ones who were singing in Exodus chapter 15 when they came through the Red Sea are the same ones that's complaining now. Amen. Ain't it amazing how we can change from one service to the next? We can come in on Sunday morning and shout it out, raise our hands, and be all happy, and let something happen at the house. And we come back the next service, and we're all the way different. And we come in, and we think we're trying to be sincere. We're trying to do what we're supposed to do, but what does God hear? Let's look at the ones that was complaining a minute. I'm going to go back and read verse 1 again. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed, now listen right here, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. That's key right there. That word uttermost part of the camp, it comes from the Greek word to mean extremity or border or the outer edge. It wasn't the one closest to the Lord, Kevin, that was complaining. It wasn't the ones, if we're going to kind of put it in a spiritual context, it wasn't the ones that were down on the altar. It wasn't the ones that were standing around the Ark of the Covenant. It wasn't the ones that were hanging around Moses. It was the ones that was on the outside, David. The ones that was complaining about what everybody else was doing. Ever had anybody in church complain about something and they wasn't doing nothing? Amen. Amen. Ever had anybody in church, you know, they could tell you how to do it, but they didn't want to do it themselves? Amen. That's kind of what I thought about as I was studying this. The ones who were not as close as the other ones, they're the ones that were doing the complaining. And you got to understand something. How close are we? Yeah, this is our Sunday night crowd. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being here. But I tell you, this might be a preventative sermon because some of us might face this in a few weeks. But I'm just telling you, folks, we got to be careful. I want to be as close to God as I can be. If I'm as close to God as I can be, Brother Robert, I ain't going to have nothing to complain about. And when the closer I get to Jesus, the more I realize how low and how dirty and how rotten I really am. And I ain't got nothing to complain about anything. They were complaining. So how do you sound to God? Complaining turns worship into noise. Listen now. Amos chapter 5 verse 23 says this. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs. God called their worship noise not because it was too loud, not because it didn't sound good, because it was mixed with ingratitude. Man, we could get in the choir with bitterness in our heart. We can stand up and sing specials and with ingratitude in our heart. We can sing about how good God's been to me and really not believe it in our heart. We can sing standing on the promises and really not be standing on the promises. God called their worship noise. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9 says this. This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Raised hand and resentful hearts, songs of praise and private grumbling. Sunday worship and Monday hypocrite. Happened every church I've ever been in. There's always somebody, Ronnie. There's always some, every church, Brother Tony, I've ever been in, there's always somebody that says, does so-and-so go to church out there with you? You say, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if they go into heaven, I ain't got nothing to worry about. It's in every church. Don't go ahead and shake your head. I'll tell you right now, it's next door, and it's on down the road at the next church. Every church has got them. They come into God's house, they can raise their hands, and they put on that holy front, but they understand God knows our intent. God knows our heart. God knows everything about us. When we come into God's house and we're not sincere and we don't get it all under the blood, I'm telling you, God just calls it noise. Let me prove to you what I'm talking about. He made free use of Christian vocabulary. He talked about the blessings of the Almighty and the Christian confession, which would become the pillars of the new government. He assumed the earnestness of man weighed down by historic responsibility. He handed out pious stories to the press, especially to the church papers. He showed his tattered Bible and declared that he drew the strength from his great work and its scores from pious people. Well, and everybody welcomed him as a man sent from God. Indeed, Adolf Hitler was a master of outward religiosity. You see what I'm getting at? How do you sound to God? How sincere are we when we get on our knees? How sincere are we when we really just turn it, when we come down and we're praying about a situation, and if we ain't, let me ask you this. Anybody ever pray, Lord, now you know? Anybody ever done that besides me? You trying to let the Lord know how good you are. Lord, you know what I've been doing. I guess I'm the only one that ain't ever prayed like that. Or Lord, now you know I've been trying to be friends with that Robert Lloyd. He just won't let me. David said this in Sunday school, and I've said this a lot over the years. And David says this multiple times in Sunday school. If you got somebody, how is it you say, David, if you got somebody that you consider an enemy, if you'll start praying for them sincerely, they won't be your enemy no more. Amen. I'm not coming in, Lord, you know Melvin, you just need to strike Melvin down, God. You know how Melvin's doing. I ain't talking about praying like that now. And some of y'all has prayed that prayer before. If me and Melvin ain't getting along and I really get sincere with God and start praying for Melvin, Lord, not that you strike him. God, pour out your blessings on Melvin. God, you just help Melvin to be the best Christian, God, that he can be. And God, you help me to be a blessing to him and mean it. I'm telling you, folks, our prayers can change. Our prayers can change. You see, you understand something. And listen to this. Murmuring is a language of distrust. Exodus chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. And in the morning ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat and the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. They thought they were complaining about food. But what God heard was, you're not faithful. They thought they were complaining about food. But what God was hearing, hey, you brought us out of Egypt, and you're going to bring us out here to starve. It's your fault, God, that we don't have anything. See, that's what God hears. We think we're complaining about certain situations, but what is God really hearing from us? See, God knows everything about us. What there is, Lord, you forgot me. Lord, you don't care about me. Every time if we get down and we start complaining about this situation or certain situations that we're in, Lord, you don't care about this situation. Lord, I know you care about Tony, but Lord, you really don't care about me. Lord, I know you're answering Melvin's prayers, but Lord, you really don't care about me. Lord, you forgot me. Lord, I'm tired of going through this. Lord, this, Lord, this, Lord, this. You see where I'm going? If we ain't careful, what does God really hear from us? And see, the thing about it is, it's real easy when we get down. It's real easy when we get discouraged to pray like that. It's real hard sometimes to pray in the right way. See, God desires praise that sounds like faith. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The Jews had offerings which they called peace offerings or friendship offerings. They were designed not to produce peace or friendship with God, but to preserve the peace and friendship with God. Now, we know they had the burnt offerings, their sin offerings, the trespass offerings. Those were all about transgressions. Those were all about covering sin. But in their peace offering, the offerer was regarded as one who stood in the relation as a friend of God. And they would offer those offerings, Brother Robert, as a friend of God. And this was a thankful acknowledgement for the favors that God. In other words, when you get down on your knees, when's the last time you actually prayed that like God was a friend of yours? He loves you. You understand something? When me and Tony talk, I talk to Tony as a friend. When me and Melvin talk, me and Robert talk with Kevin, we talk as friends. In other words, I can be honest with Robert. I can talk to Robert about anything, and I can tell Robert my deepest secrets and not really be complaining. And see, that's all God wants. See, if we ain't careful, we think that the Bible tells us that we can enter into his gates. The Bible tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. In other words, you got to understand something. God knows everything about you. God knows when you're brokenhearted. God knows when you're down. God knows when somebody's hurt you. God knows when you got an enemy that's coming against you. God knows all that. So when we come to God, we got to understand something. God might not be stopping your pain. He might be trying to shape your praise. The Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. In other words, God invites your tears. God invites your questions. It's all right. It's all right to come down and question God, but it's never all right to come down and question God with bitterness in your heart. God knows what you're going through. You're not hiding anything from him. So in your darkest hour, you got to understand something. In your darkest hour, God still loves you. And God still wants you to come to him. See, the problem is if we're not careful sometimes, when we get hurt. Now, this is me. When we get hurt. Benji, when we get hurt. When somebody breaks our heart. When something happens in our life that hits us. I want to start rehearsing all the good things I've done before God. Well, Lord, you know, I've been preaching your word for almost 30 years. Lord, you know what I've done. Lord, you know. Instead, I ought to just come down and just cry and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. David said something this morning about this effect. Somebody said, well, why does bad things happen to good people? The question ought to be, why does good things happen to any of us? Because ain't none of us good. We're all. Bible says the best we can do is filthy rags. So life is life, folks. And God already knows what's going on in our lives. But how should we approach God? You know, I'm thinking about this. What do we need to sound like to God? And I read this for Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Even when I'm hurting, I'm supposed to come before his presence with singing? Sure. Sometimes that's the best way you can come before him. Hey, when you're hurting, that's the best way to, sometimes that's the best. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hey, but you don't understand, preacher. They said I got cancer. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Hey, at least I ain't going to hell. Amen. At least I ain't going to hell. Lord, you don't know my life's falling apart. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. He's in control of everything. What you're saying is, God, I don't trust you. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence for singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. If I am His and I am in His pasture, that means the shepherd is watching over me in everything that's going on in my life. In other words, He cares about every little thing that's going on in my life. Whatever you're facing tonight, He cares about every little thing that's going on in your life. Hey, if you're on the mountaintop, He loves you. If you're in the valley, He loves you. So come before His presence with thanksgiving and sing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. God's listening to how we sing and how we praise, not just that we sing and that we praise. Like I say, you know, we can come in and put on the front. And see, that's the problem in church. A lot of people come in and they put on the front. They go through the motions. And they leave the same way they was when they got there. Whereas if you're hurting, just come down to this altar. You ain't got to talk to the preacher. You ain't got to talk to the deacons. Just talk to God. And if it's real bad, just come down and cry it out. Somebody wrote a song one time, tears are a language that God understands. Don't come down and put on the front. Don't come down and just go through the motions. Be sincere. God wants your tears. God wants your questions. God, let me go ahead and tell you something. God can handle your questions. Amen. God, if you got a question, God can handle it. He's God. What's going on? Let me ask you a question. How do you sound to God? How do you sound to God? And maybe tonight you just need to change the way you pray. Like I said, tonight, this message is you just go out and say, preacher, that was a good message. It wasn't for me, but it was good. Praise the Lord. You might need it next week. But maybe there's somebody here tonight that needs to get on this altar. Brother Robert, y'all come get us a song. Lord, we love You and we come to You.